Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
So, Elizabeth, I was talking about this man who was afraid to come to my church.
Oh, yes, I was interested. Why did he feel like an outsider?
He felt like an outsider because he felt his sins were so great that God could never accept him. And it had been so long since he'd prayed, so long since he'd been to church, there was no way that God could ever accept him.
You know, I have heard so many stories like that where people say, you know, I got to get my act together before I can come to God. And I'm really an outsider, you know, I'm not church material, you know. And it's interesting because the story that we're going to see today is about a man who felt like that. And actually, the church people of that time felt like that too.
That's right.
That he didn't belong, you know. So we're going to see Matthew chapter 8.
Chapter 8, starting with verse 5.
Okay.
When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, and in the terrible suffering.
Okay, why don't we stop for a moment and say, what is a centurion?
Yeah.
You know, a centurion is a Roman officer.
A Roman officer.
So for all the Jews, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, that's like you're saying a bad word.
Mm-hmm. So he is one of the invading officers who is oppressing the Jewish people.
That's right. And centurion means that he was in charge of 100 people. That's where we get the
word century. That's right.
For 100.
100 soldiers underneath his care. So this was a man of some standing.
Oh, yes. He's a man of standing, and it's a man that would have probably been quite hated by the religious people.
A very public figure in charge of a lot of people in that area, and he was the symbol of oppression for the Jews at that time.
Yeah. Actually, the Gospel of Luke also tells this story. We're not going to go there, but let me tell you a couple of things. This was a very special centurion because somehow he had come to give a lot of money to the Jewish people.
That's right.
And he was building a synagogue for them. So so it was very different than other centurions, you know, because he had given money.
Okay.
So Luke tells
money
us
money cures a lot of evil. So. Okay. But verse 7, Jesus responds. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. He didn't even hesitate.
Yes, which was very out of the ordinary because Jews wouldn't even come into the house.
Yeah.
Of a person that wasn't Jew.
But he's willing to go to his house and to do this favor for him. I'm going to go heal your servant.
That's right.
The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, again, this displays an incredible amount of maybe faith on the centurion's part, or maybe it displays the fact that he really doesn't feel worthy.
Yeah, this is so interesting because this is a radical section for Gospels, Matthew.
Right.
You know, this is a gospel that's mainly being written for Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have this man that is an outsider. Jesus is offering to go to his house. He's willing to do this. And even this man says, my version says, I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
So please don't even think about coming to my home.
Yeah.
And when
which is really quite amazing because the Romans were rather arrogant about who they were versus who these dogs that they were oppressing.
Right. That's what they called them. Yeah.
And yet here he's saying to this Jewish itinerant preacher, I'm not worthy to have you come to my home.
Yeah, somehow this man had come to know who he was and was believing in him. And this is why he says, look, I know you're an authority of these diseases and all
right.
this. And so please just say the word. And Jesus usually doesn't marvel in the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very few times he marvels.
Yeah.
And usually he marvels at people that have faith outside of Israel because he doesn't find much faith in him in Israel.
But he marvels at this man, doesn't he?
Yes.
Verse 10 says, when Jesus heard this, he was astonished or marveled, as I think your translation says, and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith.
Can you believe it? I mean, this is like him saying to the guy that talked to you.
That's right.
Look, I haven't found anybody with such faith inside the church.
That's right. Those people inside that church that you're afraid to go to because you're afraid the roof will fall on, they don't have the kind of faith that
you
have.
Do. Yeah.
You've got that kind of faith.
Yeah. And so here we have one of the most inclusive statements in the Gospel of Matthew in verse 11. It says, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which was the identity of God at the beginning of the Bible.
That's right.
In the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom, those that think they're in the kingdom, will be cast out into outer darkness because they think they're secure because of their religious status. And Jesus is saying, look, the banquet is a lot bigger than you ever.
A lot bigger than you think, yes. And it turns our values upside down, too. Again, we saw that in the Beatitudes. We see it again here in his dealings with the centurion.
Yes, and then, of course, the miracle is done. I mean, the miracle is not the focus of the story.
No.
The focus of the story is this interaction where we break down the barriers that the banquet is a really big banquet.
That is the key to this. The miracle itself is ancillary almost because, he goes home and the servant's healed. That's fine. But the real thing is that Jesus is including this centurion.
Yes. And, you know, this was a prophecy that came from many places in the
Old
Testament, but probably the book that emphasizes this the most is the prophet Isaiah.
Isaiah. He
has it in many, many different places. Maybe we can start in chapter 25, where we have this, again, this banquet that Jesus is talking about, which is like the banquet of the end of times.
When the
Messiah takes over, there's this banquet.
That's right. It's interesting that Jesus celebrates everything with a banquet. He throws a party, doesn't
yeah,
he?
He's a party person.
He is a party person.
Yeah, he throws parties when people repent. And
that's right.
You know,
but verse 6 of chapter 25 of the prophet Isaiah, it says here, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. I think your translation says a banquet.
It says a lavish banquet.
You
almost can't imagine this all kinds of goodies on this table.
That's right.
It says this is going to be for all peoples, which
was
quite a striking remark here.
Right.
And maybe we can go on to verse 7.
Verse 7, on this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever.
Can you believe it? How
yes,
beautiful.
No more death. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. I've attended over 500 deaths. I don't ever want to attend another one, but I know I will. I know I will. And at funerals I'm sick of.
Yeah.
And God says that's coming to an end.
Yes, because this banquet represents the beginning of this new age.
Right.
When death is no more, tears are no more. So this is the lavish banquet. And look who is invited here.
Yeah.
He will remove the reproach of his people from
all the earth,
for the Lord has spoken. And many of us know this verse, but we didn't know it was in this context.
That's right.
Look at verse 9. It will be said in that day, behold, this is our God, for we have waited for him, and he might save us, so that he might save us. And this is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes, and look how inclusive this banquet is.
From all the nations, all people from everywhere.
From everywhere. Yeah, no, there's no outsiders for the kingdom of God. Isn't that great news?
That is great news. He turns our value system upside down. We think, all right, this guy is good. He's close to God. This guy isn't.
That's right.
Jesus says, no, this is for everyone. This is for all people at all times.
Yes, and you know, Isaiah has this emphasis over and over because, you know, Israel was supposed to be a light to all the nations.
All the nations.
So that all the nations eventually came to know
God, right?
It wasn't just for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And many of you know Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is called the proto-gospel, saying that this is the first time the gospel is clearly given in how is it that God is going to deliver us through the death of Jesus Christ. Following Isaiah 53, once we get the good news of the gospel, we have Isaiah 54 that says that Israel as a woman thought that she would bear no more children.
That's right.
But all these children are coming from everywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read 54 verse 1 and 2?
Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Enlarge the place of your tent.
Look at this. We have to make this place bigger because there's so many people coming from everywhere.
You don't have enough room to hold them
all.
Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, because you're going to have to put a lot of people in here. We need more room here. You need to build an apartment onto your house.
That's right.
Add
and
more room.
If you actually keep reading this chapter, you will see that it says people are bringing children in their bosom from all nations and from everywhere. So we need a bigger tent.
That's right.
You know, so this is the type of banquet and this is the type of dwelling that Jesus is talking about when he says, look, from the east and from the west. We are bringing people, and it's much bigger. No one is an outsider. I am here for them.
That's right.
So this is back to the story of the centurion.
That God is inclusive. Even those who think that they don't belong, like the centurion, Jesus says, you have great faith.
Mm-hmm.
And in one sense, he's saying that these people actually have a better sense of the holiness of God than maybe those who are in the church who have taken it for granted.
That's right. And I tell you, if you have ever felt like an outsider, which many of us have felt in many different areas in our lives, we can say not only that everyone is included in the kingdom of God, but I come to say, I am included.
That's right.
No matter where I'm coming from or what my background is.
So if our listener, if there's anyone today who's hearing this and you're wondering if really the roof would fall in on you if you went to church, the answer from Scripture is absolutely not. The kingdom is meant for you. The kingdom is inclusive. The invitation goes to everyone, and that includes you, no matter how dark you may think your sins are.
Yeah, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of inclusivity.
That's right.
The good news of the gospel.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!